Bob's up next. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
I heard you at the top of your show this morning referring to the continued harassment of Elijah Eliyahu.
Yes, we never got back to that. I'm glad you called to bring it to our attention again.
Well, I'm glad you brought it to my attention. I didn't even realize there was anything in the paper about it today until I heard your comment. Jim, I feel so sorry for this guy. I just can't find the adequate words. This man has had his life ruined. He's had no due process. He's been a complete innocent, total victim of absolute political opportunism.
Mm-hmm.
He has nothing left. Nothing left to his name, and they're still coming after him.
Yep.
And what I'm afraid most people don't understand about this case... Now, I defended Mr. Eliyahu before the Board of Inquiry,
mm-hmm. And
we won our case. I'm not a lawyer, and that's the reason we won, is because I'm not a lawyer. Had I been a lawyer, I could not have argued the case as I did.
Why would you say that, Bob?
Because I would have been held in contempt of the court system. My argument had to state that the Human Rights Commission itself was a racist institution, as it absolutely is, and I can document this till I'm blue in the face. But if I had been a lawyer, I would not have been able to say that the commission itself carries a bias. That would disbar me from the Upper Law Society of Canada. But the fact that I was not a lawyer, they couldn't have this restraint upon me, and it suddenly struck me that many people cannot defend themselves before many laws in the country if they use lawyers, because the lawyers themselves are constrained.
Now, the background to Mr. Eliyahu's situation is that he was harassed and hounded out of his buildings. Ontario Human Rights Commission harassed and hounded him. And we are told today that he was back in court again.
Yes.
About this thing.
The Ontario Human Rights Commission has launched an appeal to our victory that occurred back in 1993, which found that there was no evidence against Mr. Eliyahu to support any sort of claims of racism. You have to understand that his buildings, the buildings he owned on the former Cheyenne Ave street there, these buildings were ideally qualified for government programs. I mean, they were low cost. There was a large racial makeup of Vietnamese and Cambodians in the buildings who Mr. Eliyahu rented to, and they qualified for co-op funding. And even before the Asians moved into the building, the buildings were designated for a takeover by the United Church, who paid Susan Eagle, four branches of the United Church paid Susan Eagle to lobby both the federal, the provincial and the municipal governments for money to repair the buildings. And they were doing this at a time when the buildings were in the ownership of Mr. Eliyahu, and they just went ahead and went and did this as though they owned the buildings themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, central to the whole issue was who was responsible for the terrible conditions in Mr. Eliyahu's buildings. And it's just totally politically incorrect in this country to suggest that tenants are responsible for any kind of damage.
Yep.
I sat in the Board of Inquiry hearing tenant after tenant recount incidents of literal vandalism happening right before their eyes. There were tenants that would tell you that they could see Mr. Eliyahu cleaning up, followed by a group of children who were littering behind him.
Yeah.
And that's the way the situation was.
Yep.
There was infighting between the Cambodians and the Vietnamese. They had just come over from their respective countries, their arch enemies. They were shooting at each other with weapons. The police couldn't control the situation. Whatever the animosities were, they would do things, I mean, vile things. They would put excrement along the walls.
Well, all of that aside,
in the hallways.
I don't know what
was going on.
All of that aside, The bottom line is that Mr. Eliyahu has been badly treated, and according to the newspaper story today, he may finally be getting a little bit of press support. The story almost suggests that maybe he's not such a bad guy. Almost.
Well, the judges certainly had to call into question certain things. Now, Mr. Eliyahu hasn't spoken as yet, and whether he's capable of defending himself remains to be seen. He speaks very broken English. He's completely undocumented. The only thing these judges are going to be interested in is the previous documentation from the Board of Inquiry hearings, and Mr. Eliyahu has no way of relating to that. I'm sure he didn't understand a single argument that was brought up with all the precedents that the commission was bringing up yesterday. And if you saw the piles of evidence books that these people are bringing in. I mean, it's like 3 feet deep,
yeah,
just of paperwork that they're doing on this. And there's another angle to this whole issue now, too. Like I myself, through Freedom Party of Ontario, we filed for freedom of information to the Ontario Human Rights Commission to get them to tell us how much money they've been spending to harass Mr. Elias.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked them for an accounting of how much they spent on the initial investigation. We asked them for an accounting on how much they spent on the Board of Inquiry and how much they're spending now on the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they told us? They said, first of all, on the initial investigation, they keep no records. And then they tell us that on the Board of Inquiry and the appeal level that they don't have to tell us because they have a solicitor-client
privilege.
And but, you know, our question is that the Human Rights Commission is supposed to be a neutral third body, which it is not. You know, when Mr. Elias was taken before the board through a complainant who was sought out by the community, a bunch of politicians and social activists got together to find a complainant to lodge a complaint against this man because they couldn't find one. They finally recruited one after many months of looking. And when the complainant files, that changes the whole makeup of what's happening. Mr. Elias has to deal with the complaint,
mm-hmm,
and he has to satisfy the complainant. And the facts in the matter no longer are at issue. They don't care that the man's been made a victim of all of this overt and open campaigning against him.
He's lost his buildings. He lost his business downtown.
Yes.
Has he got anything left at all?
Well, nothing. And what he's doing now for a living, and is costing him dearly to be in the city right now, is he drives a truck. He took a truck training course down in the southern U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And is now driving a big transport truck. And the man's hardly, you know, like he's in his late 50s, starting a career of this nature.
Well, Bob, I've run out of time here this morning to follow this story up, but we're going to continue it now that it's back before the courts, and at least there's no hopping on this court. It's
right.
Not a kangaroo court this time.
Well, let's hope that it works out that way. If I may, if people are interested, I could give them an address on the web of the whole
sure,
story.
Sure, please do that. Yep.
It's at, you know, the usual HTTP stuff,
yep.
www, and then it's freedomparty.org/Cheyenne.htm, and they will see a whole accounting of the whole issue, including both sides of the issue, including press coverage, what we said, and they'll learn a lot of what hasn't been said in the media.
All right, Bob, I appreciate your call today.
Thank you for the time, Jim.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.